This meeting is now being recorded.
Jean-Baptiste, why don't you take us through the agenda?
Sure. Thank you, Alan. So today on the agenda, we have several topics that we wanted to discuss with you, starting with the schedule of briefings, the work plan that we shared earlier with you, the face-to-face meeting, the ICANN 60, so an update on your request for an informal meeting, and also so the proposed plenary agenda for next Thursday. And this is we took into account your request and of adding your summary. Just let us know when this will be ready, and we'll include it. And also,
you're neglecting the part about if it's going to be ready. But yes, go ahead. We'll put it in
you,
again. We can always cancel if necessary.
Yeah. And then we would like to discuss the plenary schedule and AOB and the confirmed decision and action items. And my son disagrees with that.
He's a smart child.
I was going to say. That sounds reasonable at the moment.
Okay. So on the schedule of briefings, so what is currently being scheduled is to have so briefings on the plenary call on the 14th, but also on the 28th. I know that at the last plenary there was a suggestion to cancel that plenary call, taking into account that it was just before the Brussels face-to-face meeting. But so there was a suggestion to have briefings on those recommendations at that time, and also to have another briefing at the Brussels face-to-face meeting on recommendations 1, 2, 3, 15, and 16. Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm going to go on mute.
That's okay. Six briefings on the meeting this week sound somewhat aggressive, unless they're all really short. Lisa or somebody who remembers what those numbers are, and is that really going to be doable?
Well, this is Susan. So recommendations 5 through 9 are all data accuracy. So they sort of lump together.
Okay.
And then...
but they have segregated 9 on the next call.
Oh, they did.
Yeah.
Let me go back to it. And then 10 is privacy proxy.
All right. I'm game to see how far we get, and either we do it or we don't. And if we don't, we'll adjust the successive schedules. I'm just worried that we're having a relatively light set of briefings in Brussels, unless the numbers identified there are going to be really long, exhaustive ones. And it's going to be a lot, much too late to bring anyone to Brussels if we don't make that decision soon.
One and two is so one is the strategic initiative for a strategic initiative, and
which
two
sounds-
is the single who is policy. So I think those are going to be pretty in-depth.
Are going to be pretty?
In-depth, I would imagine.
In-depth, really? I would have thought those two are going to be rather cursory.
I don't see that as all in the current environment. So I think there's going to be a lot of discussion, Alan.
Okay.
Prove me wrong, but...
Okay, I just wanted to raise Lisa's comment in the chat, saying that
sure.
Recommendation 9 is separated because it involves compliance, and she has also reported each recommendation as well in the chat.
Okay.
For your info.
All right, I'm not going to try to second guess you at this point. I'm just looking at it and saying that it sounds a bit aggressive, and the face-to-face sounds a bit weak, but I'm willing to assume you've done your homework at this point, and hopefully that will not be the case.
Lisa, you have your hand raised.
Yes, thank you. It's my understanding, Alan, that the schedule of briefings was put together based on availability of the subject matter experts and which topics might more lend themselves to a conference call versus a face-to-face.
Okay.
So I'm sure if we don't get through all six recommendations on this week's call, we can certainly schedule them at another time when the subject matter experts are available. But it's my understanding we do have experts lined up for those recommendations for this week to get us started. And you may, of course, request additional detail following the initial recommendation.
Okay. As I said, I'm willing to take it on faith, and we'll see how it plays out. Let's go on to the next item then.
Sorry, I was on mute. Thank you, Alan. So on the next item on the agenda is regarding the work plan. So I'm going to share that with you. Also, maybe it's easier maybe for you to watch it directly from the file that we shared. I'm just going to put that on screen now.
Which file is it? I don't see anything that's called work plan, so.
I can share my screen. Just 1 second. Can you see my screen now?
Now I can. Takes a while. Yep.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. So in this work plan, so this is something that's, that was previously suggested and processed on the SSR2 review team. So this work plan reflects all the different steps that are identified during the life cycle of the RDS review. So we have identified different steps, which is first, so including those that are already passed, like assemble the review team, of course, but also the different steps when planning the review. So I won't list them all, but as an example, so you have adopt and publish terms of reference, define review team project management roles and responsibilities, including budget management, which we already did. And so it's a matter for each step to identify the start date and end date, to whom this task is assigned, and it will calculate the duration of this task, at least estimated, and will report regularly on the percentage of completion and add any comments. Like, for example, if something was completed on a plenary call, we will report completed on plenary call something like that. Another section is for research and studies. Another one on conduct the review. So here, right now, you can only see one sub-team, but of course, depending on how many sub-teams there will be within the RDS review, we will adapt that. And also the task within each sub-team might differ, so this is something we can adapt. And under the review team work itself, once the subgroups have worked internally and after they have shared their sections with the review team and circulated their documents to the review team, then all the steps under draft report are from the review of documents to socializing recommendations, et cetera, and publishing the draft report. So all these steps are summarized here. The same for the final report. And finally, you have the last two sections. One is implementation planning and feedback. So after the final report has been sent to the board. And the other one is on face-to-face meetings where we will list all the different face-to-face meetings that will be set up for the RDS review. So it's something that that can be presented as well, but maybe it's too soon. Maybe you want to have a bit more time to review different start date and end date, and see whether there are any tasks that you believe are not appearing and should be reported, or those that maybe you feel should not be part of this document. So so this is for your review. It's quite a huge file, so. I welcome any comments if you have now.
What is the meaning of true in selected squares? The title says at risk, but that doesn't seem to match with true.
Maybe, Alice, you can tell more on this if you're available.
Hi, Jean-Baptiste. So true is just to mark when there's a potential risk, your date, and there's a delay in reaching that milestone. What is supposed to capture here?
But I don't understand why under subteams we have some labeled true where we haven't done anything in those areas.
Okay. There might be a bug in the document. We'll have to fix that.
Well, this sub-team's draft report has selected trues in it also. And unless you're very prescient and know that we're going to have problems in those areas, I'm not quite sure what the meaning is. Anyway, we can leave it for now. Susan, what's your take on this? I'm happy to present it, but not to debate the details, but just to give people an idea of the level of planning that we may actually be doing and tracking. Are you with us, Susan? Maybe not.
Yes, no, I am. Oh. I'm just starting to get off of mute. I thought I had hit to take off mute, and I didn't. Yeah, I'm fine. I haven't given this a lot of in-depth look at it yet. But for some reason there's echo, but I'm fine with distributing it to the full working or the review team.
I'll be honest, it makes my head hurt to look at it.
A lot of work.
Well, it's the level of granularity I'm not quite sure is warranted, but I guess we'll play with it as we go along and see. So I don't mind presenting it, whether it's done in this meeting or a following one doesn't really matter. I don't think it's of great urgency at this point, so we have a pretty packed meeting upcoming, so I would tend to say it's not worth presenting at that point. But if not before the face-to-face, then at the face-to-face, I would think.
Well, thank you, Alan.
Is that a new hand or an old one, Lisa?
It is a new hand.
Lisa, just before you continue, I just wanted to ask you, Alan, so we could circulate it, but then we would keep it for not this plenary, but maybe the one after or at the face-to-face meeting, correct?
I would think so.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Lisa, go ahead.
It may properly scare some people into realizing there's work to be done. Lisa, go ahead.
Thank you. And that actually was the point I was going to make. Alan, I think it's your speakers that are open with the mic.
No, I have no speakers open. Just my phone.
Let's try again. Yeah, that looks good. Anyway, what I was going to say is that there was time carved out in the original face-to-face agenda for going through the work plan in detail.
but beginning to understand all of the milestones and steps that are part of a review may be helpful for the team right now, especially for the people who are new to doing a review, to understand that it's not just a matter of drafting their initial report, but also going through consultations with the community, public comment, and so forth. Just understanding that the actual end-to-end review process, rather than the details of the dates, at this stage may be helpful to you.
Sorry, am I unmuted now? Can anyone hear me?
Yes, we can hear
you. Yes,
Ellen,
I can hear you.
Okay, sorry. I don't know why I'm causing an echo. This is my standard phone that I use for 6-7 hours a day of conference calls, so I'm not quite sure why there's a problem. All right, so yes, let's distribute it, and we'll talk about it when we get a chance. Next item.
Perfect. Thank you, Ellen. Thank you, Ellen. For the face-to-face meeting, what we wanted to ask you is which goals you want to achieve at the face-to-face meeting. Just so that we can tailor the agenda to support your goals.
Sorry, I didn't hear what you were saying because I kept on getting messages saying mute on and mute off.
No problem, Alan. I wanted to ask you on the face-to-face meeting agenda, we wanted to ask you which were the goals you want to achieve at the face-to-face meeting so that we can tailor the current agenda to support these goals.
I guess my largest goal is I want people to come out of that meeting feeling they understand what we're doing and that if we haven't assigned tasks and you know, created subteams and such, that we are well on our way to doing it. It's very difficult to work in between meetings, even with regular teleconferences, if people don't feel that, you know, they understand the overall picture. So I really want to make sure that by the time we leave, we feel we have made sufficient progress that people understand where they fit into the team and can see how we're going to get through it. At this point, it's sort of an amorphous mass of work we have to do, and I think we have to both divide it, and the work plan certainly does that in spades, but get to the point where people start understanding where they fit into the process. Susan, anything to either change from that or add?
Not to change, but maybe to add. So we want to make sure that we've finalized the scope and work plan, and that's all incorporated into the terms of reference. Is that where those fit? I'm a little confused on that.
Yeah, well, certainly the scope. I think we're very close to the scope right now. My only worry is that if we have decided things with people who are not on calls and then they come back and say, you know, no but or yes but that's one of the reasons I'm going to try to do a summary for this week, if at all possible, of trying to put it in very concrete terms exactly what it is we think we're doing. Scope is always something we can change as we go forward if necessary, but we should be pretty well locking it in and specifically identifying the things we're not doing, so we're setting expectations properly. So I hope that will be done well before Brussels. We may need to do some tidying up at that point. So it comes down to the work plan and allocation of responsibilities. I think that's going to be the hard part.
So on the scope, though, don't we need to have language where those where the scope is more of a stated objective.
I'm not sure it's objectives. It's essentially what issues are we going to be looking at. So I'm not.
So maybe
I'm not
this
sure
is
that.
A question for staff. Is the language in the scope right now appropriate for attaching to the terms of reference?
Susan, I'm not sure what are you talking about the table that we've been using? If you're talking about that's certainly not suitable. What I was hoping to do this week, if I get the time, is to try to start turning that into something that could fit into the terms of reference.
Oh, okay. So that's where I was confused. And is that something staff can help with?
Probably. I just am going to try to do a cut, you know, very, very soon. Let me tell you not the context, but my timing. We're working on the at-large review has to go to the board subcommittee by Thursday. So it's got to be out of my hands to a large extent within the next day and a half or so. And at that point, I'll have some time on my hands. And I thought I would take a cut at it, not that staff couldn't do it, but I just wanted to get a feel for it and trying to craft words around it I find useful, and it may end up being a product that we can use in the document, or we can then turn it over to staff to rework. I was doing it more for my own edification, but I think it'll be a useful document once I do it. Lisa, go ahead.
Thank you, Alan. I've put some of this in chat, but if you refer back to the terms of reference template, does it require that you, the review team actually enumerate it as objectives? And as part of each objective, the objective should be tied to ICANN's mission and bylaws, and describe in brief what the review team will do in order to address that item. And that recording of objectives is what the review team will formally adopt and send to the board as part of the terms of reference.
Then I stand corrected. I'm looking essentially at a laundry list of which items to work with. I presume that will map into the terms of reference into the objectives that you're talking about.
That's my expectation as well, but I do think they need to be cast into the form that isn't foreseen in the terms of reference, so that at the end of the day, the review team will know concretely what objectives they've agreed to and how they'll go about trying to satisfy them.
Okay. At this point, we have several things in our scope which are not identified explicitly in the bylaws, so I'm not quite sure how we tie them into that, other than I think there's a clause somewhere in the bylaws which says we can look at other things if we want to. Unless there's any other comment, let's go ahead. We're on a face-to-face meeting. So that was what the goals are. I want people to come out of this meeting having some idea how we're going to work over the next N months and understand to the extent possible where their responsibility lies.
Thanks, Alan. Also, what I wanted to mention is that on the previous agenda that we shared, and this is still a possibility, we had a presentation from Alice on to walk the review team through the review process, which could be helpful when you mentioned that you wanted everyone to understand what they're doing and in which stage they are right now within the review team. So I think that could help, and also there are also other tools and resources that will be presented to help the review team in its work, so we will make sure to include that. Thank you.
I think one of the things we're going to have to do in the meeting is when we go over the face-to-face agenda is make sure that people are either happy with it or that they identify what they're not happy with quickly, because we do have to lock that in pretty soon. Obviously, within the scope of what the people who are going to be at the meeting anyway can do, we can adjust the agenda as we go forward. But it would be nice if we made sure that it at least roughly maps to what we think is a reasonable use of our time there and a productive use of our time at the face-to-face. All right, let's keep going.
Thanks, Alan. So moving on to the next item, which is the informal meeting at ICANN 60. So there is indeed a possibility to book a room with catering. Just wanted to mention that this has an impact on travel budget, which is currently $340,000. And it has an impact on the budget for future face-to-face meeting, just so that you know. So the only thing that we can do moving forward is to have a confirmation on the number of participants and also maybe first on the number of Revit members who will be at ICANN 60 and on which day, so that we can identify possible time schedule for this informal meeting, and also if you could confirm how long would be this informal meeting, so that we can book a room for that.
And find a time that will work.
That's going to be the hardest part.
When we said there was an informal meeting, I'm not sure if we have understanding across the board on what that means for people who would not otherwise be at the ICANN meeting. And I guess I'm first asking staff, are you assuming that we will be bringing people here who would not otherwise be at the meeting? Given the second bullet, I'm assuming yes. But
well, part of travel budget is it includes the venue and catering, so that's why I'm mentioning it, and that's the same. Part of the budget than the face-to-face meeting. So,
yeah. Can the leadership get a back of the envelope estimate from staff on roughly what the cost is of a 2-day face-to-face meeting in some venue other than an ICANN meeting, and roughly what kind of costs we would expect if we bring all review team members to an ICANN meeting?
For the same amount of days, 2 days.
Well, for the second one, there's two options. One is there is no explicit meeting scheduled, so we're just looking at the travel and hotel costs for the ICANN meeting itself. And then there's an add-on of what if we spent an extra day or 2 days in a face-to-face meeting adjacent to it. That's easy to calculate. That's 10 people times $200 a night for two nights or something like that, plus a per diem. But it's the original cost. With a travel budget of $340,000, I have no feeling right now for how many meetings that could cover, either of ICANN-associated meetings or face-to-face dedicated meetings. I mean, I know some people in the group are traveling anyway, or either do not accept travel funds from ICANN, or will already be funded by some other part of ICANN. And I don't know, but I don't know what those numbers are. And if we could have just some rough estimates, that would be really useful in understanding how many of these meetings can we have, and to what extent do we want to use any given meeting. I mean, if it's going to cost us 3/4 of a face-to-face meeting to bring everyone to ICANN for our informal meeting, and they may sit in on a few other sessions around the place, I think we're going to have to look at the cost-effectiveness of doing that.
And I don't have a handle at this point at all at what the cost is.
Hi, Ellen. If I can react on that, so estimate is something that we can provide. We can also maybe provide costs for the first face-to-face meeting, but I need to look into it. And the other thing I wanted to raise, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I understood that this informal meeting would not be like to bring more Revitim members at ICANN 60, but what I understood was just an occasion for those present at ICANN 60 to meet.
That's what I thought also when we were talking about it, but I see there's an item there of the impact on budget. So I'm trying to understand why that second bullet is on the list and what the meaning is.
Because as it is an informal meeting, but that there was a request to identify a room and catering, this is something that needs to be paid.
Well, rooms I don't think we pay for normally, and catering, yes, I agree. I think we decided that we would try to do a breakfast or a lunch on it. I think we already made that recommendation, unless I'm imagining it. So yes, catering definitely is. Catering I don't view as a major impact on a third of $1 million budget.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what I suggest, Alan, is maybe what we can do is send out a doodle for people to confirm on which days they would be at ICANN 60. And provide two timings, so one at breakfast and evening, and they can confirm their availability. How does that sound?
That sounds good.
Okay, perfect. I will do that. Let me just write that down. Okay, moving on the agenda is the proposed plenary meeting agenda. So on screen, so welcome, roll call, and then followed by the schedule of briefings, the face-to-face meeting agenda, a brief update on the new version of scope and terms of reference, implementation briefings that you previously mentioned on recommendations 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, and 11.
Okay. You said
can the agenda go out, or do you want to take it to me?
An overview of the overall review process. To do that on the first day?
At the face-to-face meeting, you mean?
Oh, I thought you had said that would be at the face-to-face meeting.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, that would be on the first day.
Oh, I'm
sorry. Face-to-face
meeting. What's on the agenda is not the face-to-face.
That's the plenary meeting agenda.
My apologies.
No problem, man.
Okay, sorry. Back to the normally scheduled programming. My comment was a red herring. Okay. All right, that looked good for this coming meeting.
So that's okay for you?
I think so. We may want to adjust it slightly, but we can do that at the last moment if indeed I have a document. We'll put a sub-bullet under 4.
Perfect. Thank you. Next item is the plenary call schedule, and we wanted to suggest to switch to one plenary and leadership call per week after the face-to-face meeting. And we have Catherine entering the room.
Okay. Welcome, Catherine.
thank you so much. I'm so sorry I'm so late. But now they're sleeping.
Can That's all right. We've made all the decisions without you, so.
I was hoping you would.
Good. I like that attitude. Jean-Baptiste was just suggesting as you came in that after the plenary, we switch to weekly plenary meetings. After the face-to-face, we switch to weekly plenary meetings and associated weekly leadership calls. I presume the leadership calls will shrink in size at that point. Don't think we should be spending as much time on leadership calls as we are on the plenary. What do other people think about that? My inclination is there's going to be a lot of work to be done after the plenary, but after the face-to-face, but I'm not sure it warrants weekly calls. It may well warrant weekly subgroup calls for the, assuming we go into subgroups, for the subgroups to try to coordinate their work. I'm not sure plenary meetings are needed on a weekly basis. It strikes me as overkill, but I'm open to either rationale for why staff is suggesting it or Catherine and Susan's comments.
So this is Susan.
Yeah,
I do feel like we will need more time, whether or not we break up in subteams. If we do that, then I can see subteams definitely meeting between plenary calls. But if we're trying to do this quickly and not take several years, then I do think we need to take advantage of the time after the face-to-face meeting and before we run into the holidays.
Yeah, I don't disagree. We have work to do. I'm just not sure how much we have to discuss. I see this as individuals taking on a responsibility or small groups of people, whether we formally call them sub-teams or not, and essentially doing their homework and getting to the point. Now, my only concern with that is you need to get some sort of feedback as to whether they're actually doing their work or just ignoring it. But I'm just not sure I see how to fill the plenary meetings at that point. I don't disagree. We need to make progress quickly. I'm not sure meetings are the prime answer. Lisa, go ahead. Lisa, I see you're putting comments and stat into the chat, but I'm not really reading them, so why don't you speak out?
Thank you, Alan. Lisa, for the record. I was just suggesting in chat that you might consider meeting weekly until you've gotten through the stage of adopting both terms of reference and the work plan and you've formed your subgroups. You may also find that you need some plenary calls to finish your implementation briefings if you find that what you receive in the first pass is, doesn't meet your expectations. But then when you split into subgroups, I understand your point about it, the time might be more usefully spent by the subgroups meeting.
All right. At this point, I'm willing to say that we should be scheduling weekly meetings, and whether we use them for subgroups or whether we use them for plenaries, we can decide. My inclination is to actually perhaps schedule two meetings a week in terms of subgroups so that we're not limited to a single group meeting a week. Or maybe divide it in terms of time, an hour and a half meeting over three subgroups or something like that. So I'm not against scheduling them. Whether we really need them as plenary meetings or not, I'm not particularly convinced. But I don't really need to be particularly convinced to schedule them and then see how it plays out. Susan, Catherine? Am I saying anything offensive?
Yeah, I'm a bit hesitant to pitch in because I have no experience with review team work previously, but it would seem to me that at least now until the October meeting, there's a lot of discussion still to be had about what's actually going to happen and how we're going to structure everything and to make sure that everybody's really in a position to contribute as much as they can at the meeting itself. And then afterwards, indeed, if there's subgroups for different parts of the exercise, then it might make sense to have plenary calls just every once in a while, but to then use the time for subgroups. But I would agree with you, Alan, that it probably makes sense to schedule them because then we have that time and we can still cancel if we find that it's not necessary, that these people have blocked it in their busy schedules. So I would be, I guess, in summary, sorry, this was a bit long-winded, but I would be in favor of going to weekly and then seeing how much we really need once the work evolves.
Yeah, I would certainly support that. You said you have no experience with review teams. I have experience with one review team. We held almost no conference calls. Conference calls were a relatively rare entity. We did a lot of work between meetings, and individuals worked with each other. But there were very, very few conference calls. That just wasn't a productive way for that group to actually accomplish things. So I suspect each of these groups has different dynamics.
But how did you coordinate amongst yourselves?
Individuals or small groups of people took responsibility for individual sections and did their work. You know, they may have had conference calls themselves and then, you know, provided them sporadically, either in conjunction with our face-to-face meetings or with the rare teleconferences.
Interesting,
and
because
do you then
the
share materials over email.
Sure.
Sorry.
These days we'd probably use Google Docs, but those days it was email. Susan, you were saying something, I think.
I sort of find that interesting because the Who Is Review team, we spent hours on the phone discussing issues. So, you know, that's my experience.
So, what can I say?
I think we should
be
prepared
for
it.
I think the dynamic that each of these develop is different.
Yeah, and we can always be flexible. But I think we should be prepared for weekly calls, and then if we don't need them because we're just moving forward with work online, you know, then that's a bonus.
That's what I normally preach for all things, schedule calls and cancel them if we don't need them. So I have no problem with that.
Thank you all for your input. So we'll schedule those plenary calls, correct?
Yes, but in terms of scheduling, let's look at the timing of the calls. Now that we know who's on the review team at this point, can you do an analysis of what time zones we'll be in once we go into the next daylight saving cycle? It's non-daylight saving in the north and daylight saving in the south, and look at how people are scattered around the globe to see if we can find a time that's more convenient for everyone. Because right now, certainly from my point of view, this is not the best. From Susan's point of view, it's, if not the worst, it must be close to it. And let's see if we can find anything that's a little bit more convenient, or perhaps rotate them in two different times so the pain is not always in one end. With only 10 people, we should be able to find some gaps in the time zone range where we can put that in the middle of everyone's night. At least that's what I've found in other groups.
Yeah. We will look into that, Alan.
Thank you. I have another call starting in very few minutes, so what else do we have to do at this point?
Any other business?
Okay. Does anyone have any? All right.
Sounds like I joined at the perfect time.
Well, if you want, Catherine, before we stop the call, we can do a quick run through of all the different action items and decisions reached so that you're aware.
Okay. And Catherine, next
time, that'd be great. Thank
next
you.
Time we'll be careful to assign more things to you when you're not on the call.
Sounds good.
Okay, so on the decisions reached for the face-to-face meeting agenda, we have that the goal is to identify tasks to be performed by subgroups and allocate responsibilities to subgroups, and also to fully understand and agree upon a work plan in terms of reference and to complete planned implementation briefings. Also, the plenary agenda for this week is approved. On action items, we have ICANN organization to circulate the work plan to the review team, and it will be presented at the later stage, plenary call on September 28th or face-to-face meeting. ICANN organization to provide leadership with a comparison of costs between face-to-face meeting outside of and within ICANN meeting dates. Send out a doodle request, a doodle to request review team members' availability at ICANN 60 at breakfast time or dinner time, and that's for the informal meeting. And finally, schedule plenary calls each week, and that's after the face-to-face meeting, and provide an analysis of what would be the best timing, taking into consideration time zone of review team members.
All right. On the doodle, if you could send me a copy of it first, me and Gisela, to make sure that we don't end up with selections that of none of which I can make, because I probably have the tightest schedule of among us at this point.
Okay, I'm updating it. Thank you.
Thank you. And with that, I think we are adjourned at this point. We reconvene at, for some of us, an ungodly time on Thursday.
Perfect. Thank you all.
Thank you all.
Thank you all.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks all.